Hi, everyone, and welcome to the As I Amber podcast. And you know, today I had to get into it. It's Music Monday. I got special guests to the show, Solomon. Say what's up.
Hey, what's going on, Amber? Thank you for having me, as always.
You're welcome. So I don't know what happened. Mercury in retrograde, the moon. I don't know, but people are on one this week. And speaking of that, on one, we got Drake and Kendrick Lamar beefing. Now, if you are a hip hop enthusiast, a hip hop head, this is like the Super Bowl, our millennial version of Ether. If you don't know, you don't know, but Google it, y'all. We got YouTube. This is like crazy right now. So for those who have been living under a rock, rapper Aubrey Drake Graham and Kendrick Lamar Duckworth are beefing, and this has been a brewing over 10 years now. So I got my guests to the show. Can you speed up everyone? What's the timeline with this beef? Like, what's going on with them?
So the short version of it is, okay, they were friends. Drake, when he was having his ascent, he got there a little bit faster than Kendrick. He helped Kendrick, as he was kind of climbing to the top. Kendrick drops Good Kid, Mad City, Poetic Justice is on there. He has a Drake feature, right? A year later, 2013, he drops the legendary Control verse on Big Sean's album. And he says, "Look, I love all of y'all, but I'm trying to be the best, and I want your fans not to even know you." And it rubs everybody the wrong way, but Drake in particular and Cole, I think, were the most upset. And then you just have a decade of subliminal shots back and forth. The language is a subliminal shot from Drake, and then you just hear them going back and forth until we get to here now.
Yes, and I think what's really interesting about all this beef, it goes back to the MySpace Tumblr days. So if you're a millennial, I remember Drake from being the Canadian actor on the teen soap opera called Degrassi. It was about a high school and things that they were going through, and he was like one of the only like minority kids on the show, and they even shot his character and made him be in a wheelchair. The show was wild, but it addressed a lot of the 2000s teen coming of age issues. So then fast forward a few couple of years, it's like 2008, 2009. I see the comeback season, Drake, and I'm like, that's that boy from Degrassi. He's a rapper now. Since when? What's going on in Canada? And so he was making his songs or his style mixtape. Drake was a lot different. So we got Ninth Wonder on the beat using the Anita Baker sample with Comeback Season, Think Good Thoughts. And I'm like, I really like this Drake. I really like it. But then we see him get signed to Young Money, like 2010s. And it's like, who is this boy? Because you're talking about starting from the bottom, sir. At 15, 16, you were on a nationally or world-renowned television show. What bottom did you start from? And so this is not to be dismissive of people's lived experiences. A lot of times in a lot of his music, Drake talks about how it was growing up having a black father and a Jewish mother and growing up in Canada. So he is not a black American. So he has not had the same experiences as a J. Cole or a Kendrick Lamar. So I'm taking all this in. This is like a commentary about when is it authentic and when is it cosplaying someone else's culture? What do you think about that?
So, I want to say this first to be fair. I definitely think Drake is true to, he started off very true to the culture. Like you said, he did tracks with Lil Brother. He was a big LZA Slum Village fan. Like, he's always been a purist at heart. And I think over the years, the edge has had to come in because people have been so critical of him coming from a privileged background. You know what I'm saying? But I think where it becomes like cosplay is when you stop being who you are. Like, it becomes cosplay when you start trying to like when you start doing things that aren't you to try to fit an image. That's when it becomes cosplay. Like, Drake, Wayne told him to keep it Canadian. When he started trying to present himself as like more of a gangster and using certain lingos, barring certain styles over and over, it's like, okay, man, we can't forget that Cha-Cha was drums. We're not gonna forget the UK slang you borrow. We're not gonna forget the Memphis wave you rode, the New Orleans wave you rode, the Atlanta wave you rode. Like, that's when it starts to
Houston.
become
Yeah.
the bar, like showing homage to it as opposed to like using it as a a new person for you, that's when it becomes, appropriate.
Exactly. And I often think of the movie Brown Sugar with Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs. Now, this is really random, but it ties into everything because they were arguing about this point of what has hip hop become? Is it like it's becoming clickbait and a gimmick to sell records? Is this beef all for publicity, for streams, because people get their money through touring and not through streams anymore? Like, it just makes me wonder, has hip hop become commodified to sell, or when is it true art? And so a lot of people said, well, Kendrick Lamar is for people that read, and Drake is for people that listen to audiobooks. I heard somebody on TikTok say that. And I'm like, hey, I like both. I'm a reader and I'm an audiobooker, but I do realize that everybody doesn't want to think about, slavery and reparations when they're listening to a song. Some people just want to shake their butt and have a good time. But what about balance? Because every song, can't be dumb, 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 dumb,
Exactly. Yeah.
When is
And
the balance?
I think that the balance is the key. And like, I want to be fair again because it's gonna seem like we just ride it for Kung Fu Kenny. But like, I don't think like Kendrick's music does make you feel ultra black, but I don't think like some people have been saying on Twitter, I don't think he has a real political informed idea. I don't think that like he couldn't speak for me on certain issues because he's not like a he's not like as intelligent as a no name, right? Like when no name talks, you could tell she knows about prison abolition. Like she's really well read. Kendrick isn't that well read, but he makes you feel extremely black. And sometimes you want to feel that way, but sometimes you want to feel emotional when you listen to Drake, or sometimes you want to, as a middle class kid, you want to feel like you got the edge when you listen to Drake. You need music for different moods. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and to bring that up, they're comparing Prince and Michael Jackson. Okay, I'm a fan of both. Like Prince's musicianship, playing all the instruments, creating his own songs, his own lyrics, being this petite guy that can wear your girl's makeup and get her too. That's what the fans say. And then you got Drake. He's comparing himself to Michael Jackson because he has more a pop hit, So I don't think that none of them are a comparison because they didn't have to go through what those artists went through to break barriers, let's be for real, But at the same time, I get the metaphor. And what I find really interesting is J. Cole. Now, where is he in all this? J. Cole backed out. It's like a timeline. So to put the timeline together, y'all, April 5th, J. Cole drops 7-Minute Drill. Then April 7th, 2 days later, he drops an apology. Then 5 days later, on April 12th, he's like, look, I don't want no smoke. He saw this coming because he knows I can't out-rap Kendrick. And to know, have the discernment to know your abilities is like the main lesson in this rap beef. What do you think about that?
I think on one level, I think Cole could rap as great as Kenny, but he wasn't willing to go as far as Kendrick. Like Kendrick and Drake were willing to go to the worst levels, and J. Cole wants to be cool with people. He doesn't want to. He wants you to respect him
Oh
as a competitor. Hey, he wants to be, hey, bro, I'm a great competitor. Let's shake hands. They trying to destroy each other. If you
God.
know it's gonna be that type of thing,
Oh
I think he talked to them and they were like, look, bro, we're gonna go to this level. If you don't want no parts of it, get out of there. And I think he was smart.
right. And speaking of the timeline, this kind of is like petty. This is like the housewives for hip hop. Because if we're honest, Drake on For All the Dogs, first person shooter. You shooting from the suburbs. Anyhow, the first person shooter with Drake and J. Cole, shots were fired when they talk about Big Three. That's talking about Kendrick, Drake, and J. Cole. They all came out at the same time, but certain people got to the top faster. And we know how the industry is, whether that's colorism, whether that's commercial appeal, whether that's you had a wide international audience before you even started rapping because people knew you from TV. So he had a leg up in some areas, but it's no more poetic justice, no more.
It's no more poetic justice, definitely. And
it's
it's
not.
kind of funny how like advantages work against you and for you. 'Cause like Drake's advantage has always been how he could cross over, but that's also why he can't connect the way Kendrick can. And Kendrick can connect with the culture, but that's also why he can't cross over. And J. Cole can rap really well, but he can't cross over.
And what
And
I thought,
sometimes I'm just saying that's they all have things that they all need to be successful. And it's just kind of weird seeing them go back and forth. But it's been equal shots on both sides. I just want people to get that.
So, I'm kind of biased. I'm a Drake fan. Like, I've been to a Drake concert. Shout out to my brother because we went to the Migos Drake concert in Atlanta in 2018. I think it was the 2017 or 18. Anyhow, it was lit. It was like the last time we saw all three members of Migos together. So that's a special memory. And it was in Atlanta. So rest in peace to, Takeoff. It's all tied into each other because it was like in the 2010s when Drake hops on a song, it became crossover. Like, Migos had been out, but all of a sudden Drake hopped on it. And then it was like Bad and Bougie, pop culture. And it was like, we've been on. If you weren't listening to the mixtapes of Migos in 2011, 2012, this was when we were in college. So these songs have a special place in like millennial music culture. Speaking of that, I find it interesting that J. Cole and Drake are both biracial and people treat them so differently. And I was saying they both have Black fathers and non-Black mothers. And I do think location and environment have a lot to do with that. It's not my place to speak on biracialness because I'm not biracial. I have two Black parents and I grew up in the South as a dark-skinned girl. So my experiences are going to be very different. But listening to, J. Cole's song Forest Hills Drive, North Carolina, you're growing up in the 80s and 90s as a biracial child in a Black environment. And so your experiences, more people could relate to him than, a privileged kind of background from Drake, who may have more emotional connections. But you know what I mean? It's just really interesting how the world perceives people.
It is, and I hate that people took it as like a color thing where like people took it as like Kendrick was trying to be colorist, and I'm like, no, what he was saying was it's about being true to who you are and the culture. Like J. Cole has been true to the culture, regardless of what people say. When Mike Brown got killed, he went to Ferguson. He did Be Free. He's done records that's always reflected his cultural connection. And like Drake literally rapped on 100, I would have all your fans if I switched and got on some conscious stuff. But you never did. You never did. You intentionally said, I want to be Mike Jackson, and you done that. But you can't be loved like Prince because you didn't. Prince was trying to free the whole industry. Mike was trying to get his money and then maybe free the industry, maybe. But Prince was trying to break, burn the house. Like somebody said, Prince was trying to burn the house down. Mike was trying to keep his stuff in the house. You know what I'm saying?
And I will say this, Prince and Kendrick are both Geminis. It's something about rappers and Geminis, I
Hey,
don't
that Gemini energy is serious.
everybody that's in the music industry that is a Gemini is a lyricist. It's the sign that controls communication. I know some people don't believe in the hoo-ha, hippy-dippy, woo-wah, but it's something in the water because let's take a list of these Geminis. We got Left Eye, we got Biggie, we got Tupac.
Hot.
Like, it's something special. Lauryn Hill, like a lot of the people that are Geminis, we got
Kanye.
Andre 3000, Kanye. Like, come on now. They might be a little off sometimes, but when it comes to this rap stuff, no one's touching them. No one's touching
Nah,
them.
they're not. And I think that's, I think that's the thing. The best thing I could say, the good news from this beef, it could be all a ploy for them to sell more records, but the good news is that we got to see them at their most competitive nature. And I think both sides got an appreciation for what the other could do. Like diehard Kendrick fans were like, but Drake was rapping though. And diehard Drake fans was like, but that boy Kenny made a bop. Like, not like us had him doing some walking outside, so.
And what I find really interesting, just growing up in the South and how Kendrick is West Coast for life, but the connection between Southern hip hop and West Coast hip hop, it's like cousins. I don't know how to describe it, but when Kendrick said on Not Like Us, this dropped literally, what was that, Saturday,
Saturday.
2 days ago. And he said, he gave us a little Atlanta history lesson. Atlanta influences the culture. Georgia, the South got something to say. And so Kendrick literally was like, nah, bro, you wasn't really here. You're not of the culture. You're a colonizer. I mean, we forget that Kendrick did produce the Black Panther Wakanda soundtrack. Like, he was just
Yes.
tying in all these oral seasonings, like, oh, but this is getting a little brutal
It
because
is.
Kendrick has a Pulitzer Prize. And not to be biased, but he's calling Drake out on being a pedophile. And the receipts are there. I'm just saying, no Diddy. I'm just saying the receipts are there. Like, why are you talking to the little girl from Stranger Things? She just turned like 18, 19, but you're hanging out. You're 30 something. You hanging out with the middle school kids, sir.
That
Okay.
is crazy.
That is a
That's
little
all I'm gonna
weird.
say.
And now Drake is taking shots at Kendrick's lady and kids. Now y'all involving people's kids. Now I will say, Kendrick gave a disclaimer on the Family Matters disc that say, Adonis, listen to this when you're 18. But Kendrick is saying that Drake has a secret child. Now, Pusha T had to push Adonis out so that we could know about him. Do you think Drake has a little girl? Like, what's going on?
And I will be honest, I'm of the belief that if he did, there's no way we would find out that easily. And if he doesn't, it makes sense that he doesn't. Like I just don't know on that one, but I will say that that is an aspect of rap that people forget. Like it's about saying things that's gonna make people like, oh my God, like
Shock
and
value.
it's the shock value. And I think Kendrick understood that better than Drake. I think Drake was saying that Kendrick was beating his wife, though. That was very shocking, right? And whether it's true or not doesn't matter because it's just shocking.
Yeah. And I also would love to know what she thinks.
Oh yeah, but I don't think
But
we'll ever hear
she's,
Whitney speak
they
on
don't
that.
really talk like that. But what I find interesting is kind of sad. The Heart Part Six. This is spoiler alert or, trauma warning. But Drake is making fun of allegations that Kendrick was sexually violated in his younger years. I'm like, this is low, bro. This is
Yeah.
low. You're involving kids, domestic violence, sexual assault. Hey, chill out. Chill out.
Yeah.
When do we wave the white flag, or is this just part of beef? Like, I don't want to see the East Coast, West Coast.
No, and I think like if you look at the Nas and Jay thing, when he mentioned like Jay's mom made Jay apologize when he dropped Super Ugly. I think we're at that point now where I think the Heart Part Six was his bow out moment because the other part of it was like from what I understand, like Kendrick wasn't referring to his abuse, he was referring to abuse his mom had, but he didn't really listen to the album. He was just trying to just like when he spoke about when he was really low key being transphobic, saying, let me speak to the man in the house. That was low key transphobic, right? But it's one of
In
them
the
things where
context, because he's a storyteller.
it's a story, yes, and people get passes for things that we like. So I think we're at the point now where I don't think he has the heart to want to battle anymore. So I think that's the end of the battle, and it helped both of them. But I just hate that it went down that way.
Yeah, let me check my phone to see if we have another disc.
Right.
Because Kendrick had these in the vault. Do you think he pre-wrote this and was just saying upload, upload, upload? Or it was just like, I've been ready. I've been ready. It's in my mind. I'm ready to go in the studio. Like, what do you think?
I'm willing to go with the belief that he baited Drake into this battle and that he knew what he was going to do because he countered everything so well. You know, he dropped Family Matters and then he dropped Meet the Grams. He knew you were going to go. I believe that, but I also believe that maybe Kendrick has another album that he's going to drop and maybe this was some promo. And I believe Drake is gonna drop a mixtape full of like very hard type of songs, like a just to get some extra shots in to sell records. I think they're both gonna sell records off of this.
I think this is a very cool marketing ploy. Like, we haven't talked about hip hop like this in
Correct.
a
In
minute, like
years,
in
in
years,
years.
because everybody is on some pop wave, or the true gangsters are not here no more or locked up. So it's just like, this is like our hit 'em up. What?
Yeah, we haven't been excited. Like I was, saying on my TikTok, like I was telling like the people that are like 10 years younger than us, like this is how we used to feel in the early 2000s, like when music would make you be like, oh man, I gotta go on Dat Piff or my mixtapes or whatever to hear music. Like we wanted to hear music. If it was conflict, like I remember going to forums and blog sites to hear and read stuff. People are doing that on Twitter this past weekend. Like Saturday morning, I woke up like, I can't believe I missed it. Like it was that type of weekend.
Yeah, and what I find really interesting is that people who are not of the culture are commenting on a culture that they're not a part of. And just like K. Tronada and TJ Moses said in their song, this is not a vibe, it's a culture. Go listen to that song. Yeah, everybody dancing, hoo-hoo, ha-ha. But it's very, you gotta be careful commenting on situations that you're not in or will never be in. And so the commentary is coming from people that is like, nah, I would never come to you ask for your opinion about hip hop. Sorry, not sorry. Like
Exactly. And like, I'll just say this, like with the Morgan Jerkins situation, like beyond her being a professor at Princeton, she's like she's written a lot of very insightful books on the Black experience, especially the experience of Black women. And she qualified to say that you don't need to comment on certain things. She's 100% right. And people just got to understand, like in a beef, we're not worried about, oh my God, the mixed quality. Dude, are they rapping? That's some stuff for y'all. I don't care about how the beat is. What are you saying on there? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
but my wife said it best. The way you guys acted when the Renaissance concert took place the whole weekend, that was how my phone was blowing up. We was over there, dog, did you hear? We acted the same way this weekend, so it was a good weekend for us.
Yeah, and speaking of weekends, Drake has beef with so many other people. So we didn't even get in on the like that diss, Metro Boomin, Future, and everybody jumping Drake. It was like Rick Ross, like they've been ready for this. This is like everybody hating on him, or is it valid validity to their experiences,
I think two things can be true. I think there could be a little bit of jealousy, but I could also think he's done some things to probably warrant it. And I give him credit because he did have to swing on a lot of people in his disses. And he did a pretty good job. Rick Ross has had me laughing the hardest, because, and then Metro Boomin, and I want to say that too, like Metro Boomin's beat, like it's another guy who's a comedian who's been doing those AI beats, so we need to give him credit too. But Metro Boomin took the beat and made it bigger, which is cool. But that guy has been doing those AI spoofs and that BBL Drizzy, that's crazy. But I've been rolling, yo. I'm sorry. Like, peace to Drake, man. You're still one of the greatest rappers ever, but they've been cooking you with that, man.
Do you think that they have ghostwriters? Do you think that are they really getting the pen and the paper in the lab or off the dome like Jay-Z? Like, do you think they got ghostwriters or are they really writing these lyrics?
I think Heart Part Six, like I think he wrote that Heart Part Six. I think he writes it, but I think some of his biggest songs he's definitely had help on. But I think if it's not a song, like if you're getting help for a commercial song, I don't care. But if it's a rap battle, you better not be getting nobody to help pen for you. You're supposed to be a writer. So I think I've just gotten to that point.
Do you have any standout lyrics from all the beefs, all the diss tracks? Or we can't say
You
it on here because we're
hired a crisis management team to hide the fact that you beat your queen. Oh, I've been just sitting with that. But like since the Family Matters dropped, I've been sitting with that. But then this dude, you run to Atlanta just to get with the, I'm like, like They've been throwing some shots at each other, but
They are heated. And
that Family Matters, I hate to admit it, that
you
Family Matters is hard.
know what? I would love to know. You know, I'm Beehive. Kendrick is honorary Beehive. He said it in his own song. Beyonce has had him on Freedom. America Has a Problem. He joined her on stage for the Renaissance World Tour. And it's not that many male rappers besides her husband joining her on stage. So if I could be a fly on the wall in that Carter Knowles household. Ooh-wee,
It would be interesting. It would be
Beyonce,
interesting
get
to
on your
know.
burner account, sis. We know you're on here.
I would
Let's
love to
see.
know.
I would love to know.
I would love to know. But you know, that would be tough though, I think, because Jay and Drake have some affinity and some love for each other. She watched, I'm not gonna lie, Beyonce is the only person I think that actually had a better verse than Kendrick on that on a song. Like that Freedom, she just floated on that. Kendrick was just on it, but I think that would be interesting to know what Beyonce thinks of it.
And yeah,
But
she's made songs with Drake. You know,
yeah.
Mine, one of my favorites off self-titled. I love the piano medley of that song, but that was so how many years ago? Yeah, over 10 years ago. Did we talking about now, like present day? Yeah, Beyonce is part of the Kenny Kung Fu Kenny K Dot Hive. We know it. She said it. It is what it is.
Hey, pretty much, and I'm gonna go with that. That's gonna be my answer to it. So, but
Yeah.
I respect how Drake went in this battle. I'm sorry, I think Kendrick won, but I just at Family Matters, I'm just gonna keep shouting. He really got down on that song. This man shot a movie like he was a good fella mob star and just got into it. So it was really good though.
Yeah, like so do you think that this beef is over or is to be continued, like a sequel? Like what is this?
I think Drake directly responding to Kendrick is over, but I think that they're going to continue to talk about each other for the rest of their careers. Like he continually takes shots at Kanye and takes shots at Pusha T. I think it's going to be that, but I don't think Kendrick is done. I think Drake is done. I think Drake is going to keep everything at this point, make a project, and get big off of it. And I think Kendrick is like, nah, I gotta make sure nobody doubts that I won. I'm gonna keep giving you some records. And I think after this week, it does.
It just sounds like they might need to lawyer up, you know, because it's not looking good for some people, both sides, really. Like, what? When we got allegations, and did you see the album cover? The little, I mean, single cover of Drake's estate with the little pedophile circles on there? I was
And I think that's another reason why it's going to end because, you know, allegations can turn into investigations and people are brands. And I don't think anybody's brand wants to be at risk. Like, yes, bars, but like Puffy is a real thing. Like nobody wants to, you know, be somebody making allegations that now invite federal attention. And, you know, so I think parts, this is me. The Heart Part Six, I think, was Drake bowing out because he's realizing that this
In
might be
real,
a thing that
yeah.
sticks with him, and he's like, I gotta cut my losses and let it go.
Also, I think it's always been amazing with Kendrick and J. Cole. They only use social media to promote their work. We never see them like hopping on there with a, you know, stack full of money to their ear, posting with the Insta hotties. You know, Drake makes those songs for your caption, you know, started from the bottom, now here. Nice for what? All the captions in the world for social media. But he's leveraged it for, you know, marketing, and that's his brand. Certified Lover Boy, all that stuff. That's his brand. But it's helpful for Kendrick and J. Cole in the aspect. They have that kind of mysteriousness. And so does Beyonce. Like, we don't really know their business unless they tell us. Now, we got to look on Shade Room or other blog sites, and we see all the girls in Houston that Drake said he wanted to marry. And it's like, are you desperate? Like, he wants to appropriate Southern culture, which is really interesting because a lot of times in the South, people get discredited because we don't sound as intellectual as other people, but everybody is like biting people's style. And that's when I think the authenticity question comes up, because there's a fine line between I really appreciate UGK, I really appreciate these people, but you have to remember, you are not from Houston like Meg is. You are not from Memphis. And as Kendrick said, Kendrick is not your savior. Like, you got to listen
That's
to these
real.
rappers. Like, this is art, and it could be subjective, but also, what part of you is real when you've shape-shifted into so many different, genres? It's like, cool, you don't have to stay in one genre, but my girl Beyoncé, she's not in one genre anymore. But at the same time, she's authentic because she is from Houston, Texas. That's her culture. So she'd hop on some British beat. Everybody be like, since when do you talk posh?
And
You are from Houston, Texas, baby. Well, what's going on?
that's what kind of makes it weird because, like, first I say, like, all black music comes from the South, so you can't escape that. But the other part is, like, Toronto is a melting pot. Like, it's Caribbean people over there, but it's people from the UK. So, in one hand, I do think he was paying homage to, like, all of the different cultures that were there. But when certain people are like the forerunners of it and you become more popular than them, if you don't give credit to them, that's when it becomes an issue. Like if you borrow from the UK and Skepta, or you borrow from whoever from wherever, just give them their props. And that's what I think sometimes is the issue. Like Beyonce doing country, it still fits her image of this is all black music. I represent black culture. So it's not really her stealing, but she caught flack for when she did the Lion King album, where she talked about the Af even though she did Afro beats, even though she invited African people into it and had them in it, she still caught flack. So it's like you can't make everybody happy, but as long as you stay true to like your personality and who you are, and it's a natural art, then it makes sense.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you mentioned, like, just genre shifting, and why do black artists have to either be rap or hip hop or R&B when everybody else, when Justin Timberlake and Adele and Ariana Grande love them, love their music, don't like everything about them, but I love their music, but they can just shape shift into any genre and no one says a thing. But let, Drake or Kendrick or anybody else want to dabble or just learn a different beat, it's like, oh, how dare they, blah, 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 blah. So it's really interesting how black and brown artists are treated when they want to expand their horizons.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to a larger issue of like everybody eats off of black people, but nobody really like cares about us. Like they know our music is great, they know our culture is great, but they want to act like we don't have culture, but they eat off of it. Like, and I'm not trying to get into like the diaspora war bag or anything, but like we just need to just give homage and pay homage to each other. But black music has shaped the whole world on every single continent, and if you're using it, just recognize where you got it from and give props and don't limit us, because black music, the whole black experience is we made a culture out of having our culture taken, and we borrowed and we made our own cocktail. So we can do whatever. If we, if Drake, I'm not Drake, but if Future does some Afrobeat infused song, I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, as long as he pays homage to them. But if an Afrobeat, like when Burna Boy started rapping over Brandy beats, we were just kind of looking at him like, it's all good. Just don't disrespect us because you know where you got it from. You know what I'm saying? So that's all.
And I appreciate Burna Boy for even, he brought Toni Braxton on stage for Last Last when he sampled Wasn't Man Enough for Me. And I thought that was so cool that he loves the culture that,
He
we're
does.
all tied together. But a
We
lot of
are.
people don't do that, So,
Agreed.
it's really cool. And just these past 2 weeks have been six mixtapes. What? My brain exploded like the little emoji thing. So I had two takeaways from this. One is don't bother people who don't bother you. Don't bother people that bother you. And also, when you're helping someone, when you're up and coming, and this is in any industry, just be kind and treat people fairly and with respect, because you never know. Some people don't want to help somebody because they feel like that you're going to surpass them. Drake and Kendrick. Drake felt like, hey, I'm bringing Kendrick on my tour. And now Kendrick got more popular than me. Do you feel some type of way? Or it could be that, hey, you can have friendly competition, friendly banter, but this is not friendly banter anymore. This is beef. And then I see where Kendrick is coming from because it's like, I thank you for helping me, but you didn't invent me. God did. So you want to get credit and accolades like you made me or something, but you didn't. Like, it's deep.
And that's the key, I think. Like, look, man, like, okay. Yeah, Drake might have, he popped before Kendrick. Cool. Wale popped before J. Cole, right? It's a lot of people. ASAP Rocky popped a little bit before, like everybody has their turn, but it's all about just if you can help somebody, help them and be kind to people. But I think people just get caught up in that competition and they don't realize, like, to this day, Kendrick wasn't saying he didn't respect Drake. He didn't wasn't saying he didn't respect Cole. He said, y'all are the best. That's why I'm saying I want to be better than you. And for you to get mad and it become a whole thing afterwards, it's just like, man, bro. So, I just wish it wouldn't have went that direction. I know we will never get records between them on the same record. I know that much now. Never. But the lines have been crossed too far now.
Well, hey, we're waving our white flag. We got less than a minute. I thank y'all for listening to the As I Amber podcast. And thank you, Solomon, for being on here. Where can people follow you if they want to?
Thank you, Amber. You guys can follow me on Insta, Twitter, Solomon Hill Fleet, HillFleet. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you, Amber, for having me.
Yeah, and you can follow me on the As I Amber podcast. Let us know, Kendrick or Drake, comment. See y'all later. Bye.
Bye, y'all.